all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Do we like cheese and Pinot now that Wetzel chose to go? Or with a sieve and some Frenchmen, can the pretzel raise his dough? The defending champs signed Dellavedova. Mojave's still the next star, but will he supernova? There are makers and hunters and cooks for the Kings, but will it end up in championship rings? Harvey's floating around again. He'll be picking rolling with Big Duke Reef and two blokes named Froling. We love Big Will That Thrills and Kai Soto from the Bills, and Big Zim on the rim with Machado feeding him. Will the Bullets be a force with Sobey and Tyrell when the Law's headed west? Only time will tell. So without further ado, we're back for NBL 22. G'day listeners, you're back with Benny Banksy and Boydy, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. And wow, debut of the new song. I won't take credit for it because I'm just Elton John, and not even as good as Elton John, but obviously I've got Bernie Taupin in Benny, our songwriter that writes all the lyrics for the intros. But yeah, I don't know, Banksy, thoughts?
First time I've heard it today, guys. Pretty whiz-bang, pretty fresh. But I'm just glad some of my boys with Cavs ties dodged the curse there. We had the Bullfrog, Jeremiah Martin, Antonius Cleveland. They managed to dodge, but not overly happy that Delly gets a mention in there. But hopefully we're not the curse in NBL 2022.
I like Boydy has just dogged me in as the writer of the curse. He's just the innocent party in this singing it. But look, it is true. I hope you enjoy it, and hopefully the curse is over as Banksy. I did leave those cabs off for you, mate, but yeah, carry on. I just had to jump in there just to realize that he's dogged me in.
So when everyone complains about the curse, they're going to put it on Benny, and Boydy's just standing over here all innocent. But I know we've done a little, you know, a couple of little pre-season podcasts so far in the early days, but I don't know about you guys, but it does feel like the real deal now. We've got a date, we've got a schedule, and that's it's a full schedule. It's not the drip-fed stuff that we had of last season, which is great, particularly for fantasy coaches. And the even better news, we've now got a preseason blitz as well, and that's where we do our fantasy preseason, of course.
That's it. That's where we put all the study into it and make some big calls that end up flopping, but some don't always flop.
Banksy, I'd like to say that I couldn't say it better myself, but maybe I can. So, look, I don't know about you fellas, but I'm just so ready for this, right? If something goes viral, I want it to be because of fast breaks, not outbreaks. Blokes, I've been in lockdown so long, I've watched Dwayne Russell's outtakes.
No thanks.
I'm ready to go back to when blocking was part of a sport. The shots I want to talk about are the ones taken on the court. If I'm ever watching TV and see a crowd attack, I want them to be yelling, "Hungry Jacks, Hungry Jacks." Fellas, we've done our double doses and I am ready for double doubles. From now on, we'll be talking about a Melbourne player whenever we mention bubbles. If we have to have an argument, fellas, about Vic Law, can it please be about if we play him at sixth man or the four?
Ooh, like that.
I want my breakers to be from New Zealand, not HQ. And I want doing research to mean I'm deciding between Banksy's top two. Fellas, we've done so well with our immunity, and I am ready to be back as part of our fantasy community.
Oh, man.
Bang, Benny, like it.
What do you think, fellas? I mean, I could not be more ready for this. I think it was on the group chat that this was when the news came out. This was the news we felt like we needed. We love watching NBL. We love playing fantasy, but like the idea of doing the podcast is what really we enjoy. We do enjoy doing it for our fantasy community, but like when you haven't seen your mates for so long, it is great to have a reason to be able to catch up and do this. So special thanks for the 36 Patreon supporters for sticking with us for this entire off season. Really love
Shout
the chats. on the Discord channel to keep us going through as players were getting signed. Can't wait to help you guys potentially take out the entire thing again this season. Fellas.
Well said, Benny.
Thank you.
Nice. I reckon if you had hair on the back of your neck, it would have been standing up saying that whole thing there, Benny.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad we didn't do the YouTube version of this as we're talking through the schedule.
I can't see at the moment because of the light shining off you through the machine. But anyway.
Yeah, maybe I take back everything I said about enjoying catching up with you two. But just to let everyone know what we're doing today, we're going to go through a run of the news because I'm bloody glad we waited till Friday night to do this, fellas, because there has been some. Mm. And we've got a bit to catch everyone up on. And then we are
Who's the most important person that has to catch up on the news, Benny?
That'd be Banksy. If you recall last time, we got the Who's John Mooney? That was the start of the season last time. And that's the stage where we're at now. So we're going to help our listeners out. We're going to help Banksy out. And we've got going to go through the news and then finally the schedule, which is all important as we know as NBL fantasy players. But I'm actually going to dob Banksy in here right now, mate, throwing in the deep end. We're going to start with the news. And we had some pre-season games announced. You mentioned them before. Can you give us some more details, mate?
That's it. So we've obviously got the Blitz for the second time, I believe, down in Tassie, which will be some great preparation for the new Jack Jumpers. So the teams there, Jack Jumpers, Bullets, Breakers, 36ers, Wildcats, and the Tyre Pan. So they'll be playing 2 weeks' worth of games over in Tassie. I believe there'll be 4 games per team played. And then there'll basically be a separate bubble for United, Phoenix, Kings, and the Hawks, who play their preseason games basically across both Vic and New South Wales. And those games will kick off November 13 for the Melbourne, New South Wales teams and for Tassie, November 14th. But I believe all the games will be streamed live. So like we're used to, we'll be able to actually do our fantasy research and take in these preseason games, particularly with so many new players this season. And although there'll be 2 separate bubbles, I believe they're still playing for the Loggins Bruton Cup like they usually do. And the point system, I believe, will be the same as last preseason, where they had points for winning the game, but also the additional points to keep teams in the hunt with the last quarter win gaining points as well.
I think the interesting thing with this year is obviously in years gone by, the Blitzers, maybe some of the players have missed out because they, you know, getting flown in late or they're signed late. With all this COVID and quarantine and all this sort of rubbish still hanging around, sorry, I know we didn't want to mention it too much, but I got a feeling like most of the players will be here.
Yeah.
So I got a feeling we'll see some fairly strength sides. I know we're going to touch on that a little bit later on for one of the teams in particular, Benny. But I'm keen. And I'm just going to say this on the fly. I'm pretty keen. We might even stream a couple of games or something like that if it works out, depending on how they do it. We'll definitely be all over it.
Busiest time of year for us.
Yeah, at least one of us will be watching each game and reporting back for all y'all out there. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and attended or watched the replay of the media conference on the announcement of the schedule and the excitement in Tassie. Like, seriously, the questions were, it was like a 4-to-1 ratio from all the Tassie journalists compared to everyone else. It was awesome to see. Just got to get past this little threat that they're having. It seemed every time they announced a schedule drop last year that there'd be a COVID-related issue to go through.
Oh, well, this one in Tassie's it's not really a threat. It's a knob, basically.
Yeah,
it's,
that is true.
The person that's ruining it for the rest of us. So,
fingers crossed they get through that little patch. But you mentioned as part of that, Jeremy Loligo talked about how immigration has been a real difficult thing, and getting players into the country is actually difficult regardless of the quarantine, just visa issues and alike, and obviously proof of vaccination and things that they need. We've got the Hawks and the Phoenix who still have import slots available, so that'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure if Sam will use theirs straight up as a Southeast Melbourne fan. But the Jack Jumpers have been together for a considerable amount of time now, so it'll be interesting to see if they've been able to build up that chemistry that is so hard for particularly new franchises to do. So hopefully they can get a good jump to start. And someone else that will be getting into the country, fellas?
Yeah, so I guess the news out today is Michael Frazier, third import signed by the Perth Wildcats. Bit of an interesting one. It's a bit of a caused a bit of chat because obviously he's quite a shorter sort of combo-y guard type, and obviously they've already got Cotton, they've already got Norton. So it was a bit of an interesting one here, and as to how they'll play it and how the starting five will look. So I guess that's a bit of a watch this space.
Yep.
At the moment. And then obviously the news this broke this afternoon after a month or so ago said that he was leaving. Matt Hodgson has also signed with Perth, which I think is just a perfect sort of signing for them, to be honest.
Well done. Yeah, obviously that local big, I think there was some talk that they might be going after Matthew Yang as a local big if he came back from his injury in time. But, he's Hodgie filling that local big spot. Sort of he'll be the, you know, the true five. We know Law can play 4-5. Travers can play 3-4. Fraser apparently can play 2-3. I'm not entirely sure about that. He's not quite the White size.
And you wouldn't think Cotton's going to play 3, but, you know, there might be parts where Norton's not on the court, even though they've thrown heaps of cash at him but to stay. But
It's all about that positionless basketball, isn't it? So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
It was funny with the announcements, though, wasn't it? Yep. Because, it was announced that Michael Frazier was signed and everyone in the socials was up in arms saying, where's the big man import? And then obviously Perth had it all planned out with Hodgie being the local signing.
Yep. Last thing, we didn't actually mention, I think, last time that Blanchfield is injured. So love your thoughts, Banksy, on how that might impact Luke Travers and how he's sort of sitting in that roster at the moment, just quickly.
Well, you'd assume that definitely brings more opportunity for him. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but a lot of people see him as the breakout player this season, and that can only give him more opportunity. I think Blanchfield is sidelined for a number of months, so not just a short-term but probably a long-term opportunity for him. With the signing of Michael Frazier, he's quite small, to be honest, so I can't see – you know, unless Vic Law moves down to that spot or something like that, which I don't think he will. He'll probably more so play the four. I think this is the biggest opportunity Travers has had in the NBL.
I agree. I think there's a little bit of an opportunity there for sure for Travers. I mean, I think there's going to be some situations where they play Cotton, Frazier and Norton at the same time, depending on who they're playing against. Like, even you could even argue, like, Melbourne United, just thinking off the top of my head, they're fairly, if they play a Garda at the three, they're fairly short too, you know. So there's going to be situations where that might work out, but when they're playing certainly against some of the taller teams, I think they probably, you know, going to struggle a little bit if they play one of, you know, all three of those guys at the same time. So it's going to be interesting to see. We'll see what happens. I think the question mark's more on their defensive side of things more than their offense, because when you've got guys like Cotton and Fraser's just a flat-out scorer as well, from what I know. So I think he's going to have no troubles on that end of the court. It's just a matter of working out that defense. And obviously there's a new coach there. There's a new system. It's going to be all different at Perth. So there's a few question marks with them. But we wait and see.
Banksy, another new signing announced just recently as well. One of your Cavs, ex-Cavs, maybe?
Yeah, the Bullfrog. We're not decided on the nickname we're going to go with. Now we've got two J-Marts in the league. But Jeremiah Martin was obviously the other big signing by the Breakers. And again, they lost Webster and they still went after yet another guard. So they're one of the teams that are very guard heavy. But he's formerly played for the Nets and also the Cavs in the NBA. And last year, just to give you some numbers, so he played in the G League for the Long Island Nets. So he averaged just shy of 19 points a game, 4 boards, 5 assists. So pretty good numbers there. And he ended the season with a call up to Cleveland, where he played 9 games for my Cavs. So I'll be struggling not to see him find his way into my team, obviously, with those Cleveland Ties.
Yeah, I guess the question mark there with New Zealand is just how, as you said, how guard sort of heavy they are. And what, like, that one's, they're a bit of a question mark, really, as to who's starting and what's going on there and all that sort of thing. So,
thank God
they're very high on McDowell White, but Peyton Siver, or Gary, as we'll call him, is, you know, it's
Gary.
A bit all over the, we don't know, you know.
I can't even remember why you're calling him Gary.
Gary Payton. Gary Payton. It was obvious.
Mate, Gary the Glove, come on. So all we need is Sean Kemp. They're somewhere.
All right, because this is going to be my next part. You know, we're into the serious issues here of how we're going to differentiate these players. Yes. We've got two J Marts now, as you mentioned. And can you please give us the reasoning behind the Bullfrog nickname, please, Boydie? Because it was news to me, but
Give us your end.
I thought it was common knowledge.
So I've got to see.
Bullfrog.
Okay,
that's what came straight to my mind when I read his name.
Okay, so there is an age difference between us. So
it's not a matter of age difference, I don't think so.
Okay, well, it's a coolness difference, maybe. So, Woody, can you?
It's just trivia.
It's a Creedence Clearwater Revival song, Benny. You should know it. It's one of the classics. Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Give us a go.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Was a good friend of mine. It starts like that. Yeah. Literally, the first two lines of the song.
And. Yeah, I don't mind it. And if Jeremiah hopefully will be a good friend to us fantasy coaches, I guess. So we'll go with the bullfrog for now, see how it sticks. As soon as we see it on the Discord, that's when we know if it's stuck or not. What about the Josh and Jalen Adams, though?
Grizzly.
Grizzly, yeah, Adams, you know what? Josh. I don't mind that. He looks a bit grizzly with the goatee as well.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Did he actually play for the Grizzlies at some point? That would be the... That would be the turning point for me, but we can go with Grizzly Adams and Jalen Adams, I guess. We'll see how we go. But if you've got any nicknames out there, listeners, please let us know. We're always after a shortcut when we're podcasting, so that would be awesome. All right. Now, before we get into the schedule, last little thing, we had some articles. Great to see the content start coming out on NBL.com, and it was the way too early predictions, and I've kind of summarized these on the run sheet, fellas, and I wanted to talk about it because it could be a way too early sort of first glance, and there's some players that have been mentioned on here that I think in my mind I've got criminally underrated if what the predictions come to fruition that have been made. So we've
underrated
got
or undervalued, do you mean?
Probably under, well, either, both, I guess. So the outside players, you're going to pick three outside players. Every single person said Cotton's going to be in it. Next was...
So this is predicted all NBL, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. All NBL first team, Tyler Harvey with five selections, and a bit of a mixture between the rest. Just pick out a couple of names from that list that sort of either... you question or vindicate how you feel about a particular player.
Which Adams is it?
Jalen.
It is Jalen. I thought it was Grizzly. All right. Yeah. So, well, Jalen Adams has got one vote in there. Out of the, I guess, the guys we haven't seen in the league, Adams had one vote and Seaver had two. So that's probably the two that stand out there when we...
Dally.
Well, we know a bit more about Dally, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah. So... I'm high on Jalen Adams just as a fantasy prospect, but for Gary Payton Seaver, I have not given him the respect or the thought in my mind that he might be a good fantasy player. I think it's because of that guard rotation, but what are your thoughts at the moment on the Civ?
I totally agree. I think that's the instant thing when you're looking at those New Zealand guards. You're like, well, they're guard heavy. They're going to be taking points away from each other from a fantasy perspective. So I think that's natural. But, yeah, I'm surprised he's been talked up by quite a number of people in the media over the past week or two. So interesting to see him there.
I thought, though, he was talked up a bit more when he signed as well.
I listened to Jock Landale, an interview with Jock Landale, and he called him out as being a legit, Euro star.
He played him in Euro, yeah.
Yeah.
He played against him in Euro, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. He was a national championship player, wasn't he? But that's the one that got taken off him for Louisville, I believe.
Yeah, that does ring a bell. Patino.
Did you read my article, Boyd?
Got it in front of me at the moment, thankfully. It booted just in time so I could see it was Louisville.
Thanks, you. Quick plug for where people can find your articles.
Basketballblokes.com.
Beautiful.
I think they, you know, like Ty Webster a little bit, like he sort of had that similar sort of ilk over in Europe. So I think they're sort of saying could slot in anyway. It was probably kind of a bit more of a question mark when Ty was still there. But I think Ty not being there now, I think opens the door for him a little bit. You know, he's always averaged more than 5 assists a game over in Europe, averaging mostly double figures in points as well, and a couple of boards as well per year. So, like, I think he's going to sort of fill up the stat sheet a little bit. He's one to watch, definitely. I think definitely keep a preseason blitz on him, but to see how it all fits together, but
yep.
See what happens.
Cool. And of the inside players, there's two there that kind of stand out. You got your Jarrell Martin and Big Hump leading the way into the votes, but Joe Chi and Sam Froehlich being listed there caught my eye. So that will be, we obviously like our bigs, so hopefully in NBL fantasy, so hopefully that can be a couple of players that we can use.
I mean, Sam Froehlich's the question mark with Big Job Reith coming in and what sort of impacts that's going to have.
And his bro as well.
Yes, you're right. And the Cheese and Creek, yeah, they're kind of, who knows, they're a little bit as well. I think the Cheese could be fairly good. So we wait and see. And Law, yeah, I'm surprised Law maybe didn't get more votes, to be honest, because I think if he had been not injured last year, I think we would have seen even more from him. He's got a pretty high price, though, hasn't he?
Most expensive,
Yeah, so it's got a bit of a downer, but yeah.
Yep.
The interesting one before you moved on, I reckon, was Patterson in the smalls as well.
Good point.
One person picked him, so I know they're saying he's sort of fitter. Let's hope we've got a return of the, you know, no non Patterson, I guess you want to say.
Yeah.
But he's 1.2 mil, so you know, he's priced kind of, you know, fairly cheaply for an import. And we know that he's, you know, capable of 40s and 50s off the charts. So let's wait and see.
Moving on to the next stars, Banksy, there's been 4 different players selected, which next stars come in at 850K. Apart from one of these players who was selected more than any other, who we are expecting about 520K, being Mojave King. What are your thoughts on Mojave getting the props there and any other of those that are way off your radar that got picked as being the biggest impact player?
Well, how many was there? There was a total of eight selected, and Mojave was 3 of those. He probably would have been my pick, to be honest with you. And you'd hope he gets more of an opportunity at Adelaide than he did last season. I don't feel he got the opportunity that most next stars have. I think he is the standout at that price point. Again, our eyes will be peeled on the blitz, particularly from a minutes perspective. So we'll see how he fits into that rotation. I don't think there's any other surprises there.
Okay. Look, you've heard of the person Liam selected. Can you pronounce his name for me?
I'll give it a crack, but I'd be more interested in Boardy.
Oh, that is the rule, isn't it? Okay. So who did Liam Santa Maria pick?
We'll let you try first, Boardy.
It's Nikita Mikhailovsky.
Oh, very good.
Mikhailovsky?
Yep.
Mikhailovsky. Okay, we'll go with that.
Although you got to kind of say it like Mikhailovsky.
Yeah, I like it. Very good. Jeez, we're going to have to stop giving you this pronunciation stuff, mate, because you're going better. Very well.
He's improved in NBL 22.
Nikita was one that, especially knowing how much we rate Liam's opinion, that really shocked me.
Hang on, I'm just going to jump in there, Benny, because seeing as we rate Liam's opinion, interestingly enough, he is one of the two that picked Peyton Siver in his all NBL first team predictions. And you know who the other one was?
He knows his stuff.
Was it Hooley?
It was Hooley Dooley.
Yep.
So, and they're two guys that are pretty switched on, I would say. So interesting.
Yep.
But anyway, moving right along. Nikita Mikhailovsky.
Yeah, it certainly surprised me by being picked out as the one, because we'll talk about the Jack Jumpers schedule now. So that's one I just wanted to raise. Usman Deng is the highest regarded prospect at 14th, I think, overall, or something along those lines. So we'll have to see where he fits in. I was not surprised to see him, but just briefly want to talk about Peter Hooley's selection for the next Boydie, because, yep. Yeah, like you raised something off pod that could potentially make him viable, I guess.
Yeah, so the interesting one with Hockpoddy,
Ariel,
how do we pronounce it?
Yep.
Is that obviously that Melbourne United roster is looking a little bit thin at the five position. Now, I know especially Banksy's a big lover of JLA. So, but I'm just interested to see like how, obviously I think it looks like those two are battling for that starting position. And beside the fact that even when JLA is there, even if he starts, his fouls have always been an issue. So it's a bit of an interesting one for me, Hockpoddy.
He should get plenty of opportunity, I think.
He might get plenty of opportunity. While we're talking about these younger guys, I did notice there was a couple, and there was an article put out that I think Liam did maybe, where they talked about all the prospects, and they had names escaped me, Givoni. Or Giovanni, yep. Talk about it. Talk about
having a real red out crack at this pronunciation. Keep going.
You're having a real good crack.
I'm practicing in the off season.
A couple of Cooper's purples deep, so I've got some bit of braveness.
Nice.
So there's a couple of them there that look, and it doesn't really matter for us. Fantasy points wise, but a lot of the younger guys and the next stars they're saying that they're a lot, their offensive game's ready to go basically. So if they slot into the roster quickly, that's probably going to be okay. But the thing that worries me, and when we talk about fantasy, we've always got to think about how many minutes they're going to get, because minutes generally lead to production fantasy wise. Quite a few of them mentioned defense as an area that they need to focus on in order to improve their game and improve their prospects for being drafted, NBA drafted. So, and obviously in the NBL, it's a tough league, you know. It's not a cupcake league, as it gets thrown around way too much. And so that if they don't have that defensive game, they might not see the minutes that are going to get drafted. So you really need to
No, I think that Shamir, that comes to mind, of someone who'll sit a kid if their defensive chops aren't up to scratch.
Yeah, which is a bit of a worry for the couple of the guys they've got. But I know it did mention as well for Nikita that he's definitely got like that offensive game. He's a sharpshooter, can knock down a shot from anywhere, basically, by the sounds of it.
Yep.
But I know they did comment on maybe attitude. Not quite, you know, they're not sure if he's a real team player yet. He played for a team in Russia, I think, where it's
I was just about to throw that stat at you.
And his GM was his agent, you know, so there's a bit of a thing on there, you know, was he getting looked after a little bit, etc. I don't know enough about it, but I'm only saying what I've read. But
you remember what you read in my article about him?
Pardon me?
You remember what you read in my article about him?
No.
So the big stat that we got excited about fantasy-wise was the 2019 Under-19 FIBA World Cup. He had a 20.13 rebound, 12 assist triple-double while playing for Russia. And in international basketball, his three-point percentage is 40%.
40%. Okay, so damn.
He's a sharpshooter, and he can fill
his whole career is 40-plus from three-point line. So, but, you know,
the Russian sniper, look out.
Yeah, putting your eye over that.
He might actually play a role. You're looking at Jack Jumpers roster later on.
He might. He's an interesting one. You know, the tricky one we always talk about with the next stars is their pricing. $850K, what does that average work out to be, Benny?
It's too close to what the million-dollar imports, let's be honest. Correct. I think that's what you're comparing against, really, isn't it?
Correct. So and I know we mentioned that the Mojave is lower than that because of his average from last year. So, look, unless they're going to really boot it, the next stars are hard to go with. And, you know, over the last couple of years, you've had LaMelo. He was obviously worth it. RJ, question marks all the way through. And then last year, Giddy was next star. Did he start next star, Price?
Yes. Yep. Yes, he did.
Correct.
Dominating as well.
Sorry. I had to wind my mind back. You know, those two guys are the standouts. You really need a standout from those next stars. You need to be known. You need to be sure, come game one, that they're going to be playing 20, 25, I'd say.
Yep. Banksy, as the man who looks after our cheat sheet, which features our cash cows.
It's in the works.
They're also listed their picks for most improved players. So obviously if they're improving, then they're probably making cash for us in Fantasyland. Do you just want to read through just the list of players mentioned in that, and then we'll move on to the schedule?
I can. So obviously we take a lot from Liam's pick, and he'd be on the same page as us. He selected Luke Travers, and Homicide Williams picked Luke Travers as well. So... but some of the other names there, so Quart Noi, selected by Peter Hawley.
Don't mention Daisy's one, please.
Well, that's your mate. That's your mate, Brokoff, picked by Gazy, and also by Jenny Screen. And a couple of other names that I probably wouldn't have picked. Deng Deng was listed there as well.
Given the schedule.
Mojave King, who we've already touched on, and Mason Peatling.
I like a lot.
Yeah, another big that we probably haven't highlighted there, Bordy, when we talk about the Melbourne United bigs.
Fantastic. All right, some early, very early cash cows to keep our mind across before the game opens, which, you know, it'll probably be a month out from the start of the season like it was last year. We'll have to wait and see until then. But the big news we got, of course, was the schedule. We're just going to go through some general information about the schedule first before breaking down club by club and seeing if the schedule eliminates us picking players from those squads. So perhaps Boydie is probably a good if you want to go through just some general facts about the schedule.
I'm really prepared for that, throwing me over that, Benny.
No, look, I've honestly stitched Boydie up here because he was going to pick on me so later on. But no, look, I'll just go ahead and I'll do it myself. So the season opens on Friday, December 3. So we got the 21 rounds again. So same as last year, 21 rounds, longer than traditionally. And it concludes, so our fantasy season concludes on the 24th of April with the finals to follow. Just firstly, fellas, do we think it's a necessary evil on the schedule running well into the football season rather than condensing it?
It had to be done, I think.
Yep. And I guess it allows for contingencies, you know, because it's so sparse, if they do have an issue and have to move stuff, at least they've got 21 rounds to play with. All right, so this is where I was going to get picked on. So this season we've got 140 games compared to 162 games last season, despite the extra team. Now, Bordy, what's the reason for this? What's missing this season?
NAB Cup.
NAB Cup, that's right. Other people know that as the NBL Cup. For us at the Basketball Glokes and Bordy in particular, that was the NAB Cup. So I did initially have that there was 280 games and 300 and...
Getting quick maps.
Yeah, compared to 320 last season. And how did I stuff that up, Brendan?
Oh, you just didn't divide because, you know, every game has two teams playing, not one, so...
Yes,
it's an easy mistake to make. It's all good. We're cool. And I know you obviously had stiff nipples at the time and you got excited about 280 games. And I was kind of excited when I first read it too. And I went, no, that can't be right. There's only 21 rounds. There's not 10 or 12 games around. So,
yeah. So that's good. Now, what I did was I highlighted those games on an Excel spreadsheet, which was the Oracle's schedulizer from last season. And now, that schedulizer was all the colors of the rainbow. It looked like a damn kaleidoscope based on the fact that last season had 16 triples and 4 zeros in it.
And you can have lots of colours in there if you want to finish top 100. That's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah. Look, but this season we've only got two triples in the single in round three, and we've got
present, no, but yeah.
And we've got no zeros, which even for going back seasons prior, normally the USA trip would eliminate some teams from contention. So,
which really what it means is that you've basically got the whole spectrum of teams to choose from. Coinciding with that with an extra team, whereas when we've had zeros for NBA games previously, we only had eight teams in the league, which now we've got Sam Phoenix, although I think they were in there for the first year when we had a couple of zeros. So now you've got, let's say, two extra teams, really, with the JJs now there too. It's just it boggles the mind, the opportunities.
You'd That's imagine true. There'd be less vanilla teams as a result. We're going to have more unique teams, which will make it all the more exciting.
Well, this
You'd
is
think so. And yeah. the other thing that's the other thing with how the schedule sort of rolled out. Are we gonna go there now, Benny, or what?
Well, this what I wanted to sort of raise is that what we're gonna test, because these are the kind of things that I thought as well, that given that focusing on the schedule might not be as important, given that it's 1 to 2 games, it's gonna be impossible to really get all the doubles, you know, like we traditionally would have done. And cash production might be more important just to get those. So that was a thought that I had initially. So
cash is always important in this game. It's just the way it goes, especially when you get down deeper in the season and you really want to have those premiums in, week out.
Yeah.
But the variety of the schedule is just, you know, it's just a little bit bananas. Like a couple of teams, you know, there's two teams that start off on a double, but a couple of teams play singles their first 2 weeks, you know. So,
yeah,
it's kind of it's so, a bit all over the shop.
Yeah, this podcast is going to basically test that out because you've said that, you know, you'll be able to pick more unique teams. But when we go through club by club and see and start thinking about our starting teams, it'll be interesting to see how we go as we talk through that now.
The high level thing that I said to you was in regards to that as well off pod was there's, you know, where's the equilibrium where if you're foregoing points in the first few rounds in order to build up your squad value and have, you know, little players stashed away, there's going to be a point in time where you've got you're too far behind and you're not going to be able to play catch up. So you've really got to find that sweet spot. You've got to think about that if you want to go that value strategy rather than follow the doubles straight away and let's say the triples because they're in round three.
Yeah, that triple being so early is a big temptation, I think. Now, for Banksy, I'm going to explain this just so he doesn't think there's a new conference final system or something like that. But you may hear talk about conferences, Banksy. So for the first four rounds, with the exception of the Jack Jumpers joining Group B and forming a dirty dozen, I'm going to call it, in the last game of round four, the conferences are as follows. You've got a Group A, Brisbane, Cairns, Adelaide, Perth, and the Jack Jumpers, and Group B being Sydney, Illawarra, Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne, and New Zealand, and they are divided up based on COVID situations and likely border restrictions. It's only for the first four rounds. The issue is, though, that the stacking of the groups, I think, is quite uneven. Just quickly, looking at the odds, you've got five teams that are between $4 and $6.50. So they're basically in a tier all them to themselves, and four of those teams are in the group conference B. So now good teams and championship winning does correlate to fantasy points. It did last season. It was a two-team comp last season. Perth and United were the two best fantasy teams also. And the best defenses tend to win as well. United and Perth were also the two best fantasy defenses. And if you look at Spatial Jam's website, it also shows the correlation with the top three defenses, according to their metric, were the top three teams on the ladder at the end of the season. So it just so happens that the defenses in Group A are also Perth in third, and then the 7th, 8th, and 9th from last season being the three worst, and the Jack Jumpers. So all the worst defences apart from Perth are also in that Group A. So,
Benny, I'm just going to jump in there. What you're forgetting with all this, these beautiful stats, which I love, is that we're in a brand new season, and last season doesn't really matter. They've got all the teams are different. Obviously, even with things, I know a couple of names you mentioned there was Perth. Perth have got a new coach. They're going to have a whole new system. They've got a fairly different lineup. There is quite a few players that are still there, but they're quite different. And the other team you mentioned was Melbourne United. Obviously, their roster, I would think it's looking weaker than it was last year.
Yeah.
But the interesting point you make about the conferences, at least for the first 4 weeks, can allow you to do things like focus. If you've got a player that you've really got your heart set on, and you know, it might be an outside sort of idea. Let's go with, who should I go with?
Well, you're probably thinking like big men, aren't you? Because they're your captain choices, right?
Well,
so those matchups.
One that's happened for us. Yeah, for sure. Big men's one of the big ones we've talked about. Double-double is one of the huge things with big men. And as we've talked in previous seasons, when they're playing against weaker big men lineups, they can obviously dominate sometimes. Now, I'm going to pick probably the first name that came off the top of my head was Adelaide in the first conference, or Conference A, if you want to call it that. The big hump. Who's he going to play against in that conference? You got Brisbane. They've got the young fella. What's his name? Tyrell. Yep. Yes, has definitely got some skills. You know, could make it a leap up, but at the moment, you'd say that Humph would dominate him if he's fit. Cairns, the big Zim, bit of a question mark. New
big
import.
Zim and Nate Jawai. Jeez, I reckon Humph would go pretty well mobility wise.
I reckon the Humph would take care of them. No worries. Perth just signed Hodgson. You know, Hodgson's a pretty good big in this league, but he's foul trigger happy, you know, and once he's out, I know they've got Majok, he obviously seems like he's fit, but then, you know, he might be up against, you might have bloody Humph getting defended by Vic Law, which I know who I'm going to take in that lineup. And then the JJs.
Yep, looking pretty thin at the centre position.
Magne, you know, who could go up against him, but this is just an example. It's something you probably need to look at. You need to drill down a little bit more just for those first 4 weeks or whatever the conferences start off with.
Yeah.
And look for your opportunities there.
Yeah, that's it. And that's exactly what I was doing, I guess, was just sort of, I understand that there's variance between year to year, but there seems to be, from last year, there was a correlation, almost exact correlation between the odds and the championship and good defenses. So if you think that the odds are right, you may not. Perhaps that correlation will be there again. But it might be something just, it's not obviously a huge factor in its own right. But yeah, it might be something to sway you in a 50-50 decision or something.
If you've got, if you're picking between two players, that could be something that sways you if you've got a situation like what I was talking about with Humph, let's say.
And more importantly, it gives me an opportunity to plug what we do for our Patreons, which is the points for and against in the spreadsheet, which we go through the season, looking at those big man matchups you were talking about. It would be nice to know which teams give up most points to big men as we go through. All we're doing is projecting from last season at the moment, but those in-season stats be a whole lot more accurate.
That's it. Are we going to do those for the Blitz, Benny, as a bit of a Patreon thing as well, maybe?
I mean, no doubt we have our converted fantasy points for the Blitz. I've got some ideas of how we can get people involved as well, but we'll talk about that off pod, I guess. But
thanks, you had something you were going to say?
I was just saying we probably haven't updated that the scheduler, the all-important scheduler that we'll refer to all the way through NBL 22 when selecting our fantasy teams, has already been updated thanks to yourself, Boydy. You had that up within hours of the schedule being announced, so well done. Mm-hmm. But basketballblokes.com/schedule, you can find the 2022 scheduler already updated for all 21 rounds of the season.
And we recommend you open that now if you're listening to the podcast, because we're going through it. And Banksy, you want to keep going on the roll there and just actually go through as if it was we're preparing for week one and just go through the doubles and triples of the first three rounds of the season.
Well, I guess the first thing that's worth mentioning, as you may have touched on a little earlier, is we don't have all the triples from last season. We'll come to it, but there's only two teams on a triple for the entirety of the 21-round season. But as we sort of kick it off, when selecting our teams, there is only two teams on the double in round one, and that would happen to be Adelaide and Brisbane. Okay, so that will be very important when selecting our initial squads, particularly our starters. In round
captain as well, probably.
Captain, of course. And then in round two, we have South East Melbourne Phoenix, and the JJs have the double. And they're the lone two teams on the double in round two. And then where it gets really interesting is in round three. That's the only round of the whole season where we have teams on the triple, and that would be the JJs and the Sydney Kings on the triple, Melbourne and New Zealand on the double. So it will be interesting to see, you know, how we go about managing those triples, knowing they are the only triples for the entirety of the season.
Yep. And I think this will be a good test. So what we're going to go through is we're going to go through the schedule sort of club by club. I've tried to order these in, I guess, from worst to first, teams with the worst schedule. And what I want to do is when we're looking at our starting sides for each club, just quickly mention if that probably eliminates play, I guess, the entire squad from your starting side. And or if there are some potential players still there. So it should be pretty quick, I'd imagine, getting through these first few. And Banks, your club's first being Melbourne. So do you want to kick us off and let us know the Melbourne schedule?
Yeah, so if we look at our scheduler, hopefully you've got it up in front of you, but Melbourne kick it off with two singles in round one and round two. So it's not all that enticing. And if you look longer term, they've only got one double in the first 10 rounds. So their schedule is actually quite sparse looking at other teams. So they've only got one lone double in the first 10 rounds, and that happens to be in round three. So I guess looking at Melbourne as a club, you'd really only be selecting any of their players realistically in fantasy if you thought there was a real standout value-wise that obviously would be set to increase in price. And if I flip through on our rolling rosters, the starting prices of our Melbourne United squad there, me personally, I don't see anyone that I feel is that underpriced that would warrant selection based on their initial schedule.
I can't see any Melbourne United players being in my side. Yourself, Boyd?
No, I don't think so. It would something I mentioned earlier in the pod, Hogporty. If he wins that starting role, then I would possibly think about having him on the bench. But I don't know. And maybe if Dally was $1 million, but I don't think he will be.
Cool.
It's a lot of kish on the bench.
Yep. Moving on to Perth, they don't play a double until round nine, Boydie. All right, there's some big value
That's
players.
Right.
How do we feel about Luke Travers? Would you still consider him in your team from the start?
I think you have to. I think especially early, he's going to be playing without Blanchfield there, you would think, for the first month or couple of months or whatever it ends up being. I think he's going to get minutes. I think he's going to play, you know, there was even some talk about Law playing the five spot a little bit, which means I would think Luke Travers would play the four. You know, I think at 610K, if that's the price he, or thereabouts based on his average last year, I think he's a no-brainer maybe to slot into that small forward bench spot.
If you can I ask you guys, yeah. with Travers, do we see, while Blanch is out, do we honestly foresee Travers, if given the opportunity, scoring on par with what Blanch would have scored last year?
More, I think.
More, okay. Now, the reason I ask you that is Travers is priced at 15 fantasy points a game at 610K.
Blanch surely gets above that.
Blanch is priced at twice the price.
Correct.
At 31 fantasy points per game. So if we honestly, I personally think Travers can fill up the stat sheet more so than Blanch. Blanch was more a pure shooter. Well, then obviously Travers is well underpriced, and that's the reason you would select someone with a poor schedule to begin with.
Question mark, yep. Is Fraser coming in?
Yep.
That extra scorer. And does Vic Law become dominant in that 4-5, 4-3 spot? Who knows how he plays, and what he plays, because he, you know, he's, we saw him at Brisbane. He's not really ball dominant as such, but there's three pretty big scoring names in Cotton, Frazier, and Law. And that's probably the one thing that might hurt Travers. But he gets those rebound numbers, you know. So I think he's going to be worth a punt, Banksy.
And I think on the flip side, when looking at Perth as well, I think it probably, in all honesty, rules out anyone selecting Vic Law from the start as well.
Correct.
You can't fork out $2 million for a guy
put a line through Vic.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. Later in the season, he'll be in there, but you can't start him with that schedule. Well,
this is exactly my point. This is the blessing in disguise with this whole thing. Remember starting last year, we had Cairns with the great schedule. Banksy, and you started all of them. You know, you had the paid up for Oliver and Machado, who started at 1.7 million plus, and both went back down to the $1 million mark at some point in the season. It could very well mean that the likes of Cotton and Law will be significantly cheaper when we need them. So I think that's one good thing. And Travers is the only one I'd consider from Perth.
It might not necessarily be significantly cheaper, but yeah, we'll see. Oh,
just the way the magic number works, even if they averaged the same point amount of points last year, they would still decrease in value based on just the way that the pricing is done.
He's not going up. I mean,
is this Herbs and Spices? He might not go up. There are more chances to go down. Well,
he averaged 49 last season, so Law's not going up in price. We don't have to worry about that.
Next up is Illawarra, and geez, it's only one double in the first 9 weeks there as well. So, Banksy, the Hawks, mate, is there anyone that you would consider, or are you just ruling them all out?
Well, obviously Cleveland has to be in my calculations, but no, probably not. unless we see some really big things from Antonius in the preseason. Obviously, Illawarra have lost Travis Trice, so I was very much looking forward to seeing him. But I guess based on schedule, it's going to be hard. Unless we see big things from Duop, obviously a lot of our big
it's
men
made
are
me sad. Yeah.
He was definitely on all of our radars, I think it's fair to say. But, we're expecting him to be priced at $1 million. Is that right? Jerop Reith?
Yeah, I'd say so.
We know the big men are fantasy friendly, but again, that schedule, I mean, I think it's going to have us looking elsewhere. I don't think he's going to be underpriced enough based on one double in the first, 9 rounds?
Yep.
Yeah.
Any stashes for you, boy?
I'm going to play the devil's advocate. I'm going to say that I think Duop might be a stash option.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're not paying up.
Is he your Landale from last year?
Banksy said, yeah, well, possibly. I had Landale on the bench for the first couple of weeks last year at $1 million as well. Turned out all right in the end. But, you know, like, who are the guys? Now we know that, I lost my words. Vic Law's there. You're not going to take him at 1.9. Well, for Vic Law's price, you can get two of the new imports. So you can stash one at the bench on the bench and one in the starting position if you wanted to.
Yeah.
That's a strategy you could play.
Yeah.
It's
just how many do you stash who's going to be that man?
Correct.
Because I think with the schedule, you're going to have to stash someone. We're going to have to learn to play people in the singles.
Yeah.
Who is that person going to be?
Correct. And the one double in the first 10 rounds might scare you away or whatever, but then rounds 10, 11, 12, they got three doubles in a row, you know. So, you know, if you get it, you know, you could be taking advantage. That might be what I was talking about before with the equilibrium. That might be where the tide turns for you there, you know. You might have Job just sitting there looking tasty, buddy. You can just bring him in, slot him in for those run of triples. So
save a trade.
And they're not the only team that are only on one or two doubles for the first 10 rounds. The way this schedule works, that's just the way it is.
Although it sounds bad comparatively to others, it's not actually that bad.
That bad, correct. Like, you know, Melbourne, we just spoke about Melbourne, we just spoke about Perth. There's a couple of teams we'll talk about very soon that have only maybe got one extra double, and those doubles are really spread out apart. So you're not really losing that much, do you know what I mean? So anyway, keep going.
Thanks.
I think one thing that really stands, and we're going to come to this team, obviously, but I think what we're going to find is in all of our teams, one of our big men spots will be tied up already.
Okay. We'll bury that lead until we get there. I look forward to unwrapping that gift. The Breakers. only have the one double in the first six rounds. So
one of those teams.
Does anyone have doubles?
Yeah, this is.
Breakers have got three. And, well, as we just talked about, who did we talk about? The Warren Melbourne only have, and Perth only have one in the first 10 rounds. Well, New Zealand actually have three in the first 10 rounds. So, correct. And then their rounds 11 and 13, they've got doubles as well. So they've got, what's that, five in the first 13 rounds, which isn't too bad looking at this schedule.
Yeah. So we're looking at starting side considerations.
Correct.
So I'm going to ask you, is there anyone in there that you could figure to be that stash player?
As maybe Gary.
Okay.
Maybe
Banksy,
Gary.
Anyone, or are you just going to rule them all out?
I'm not ruling them out, but I think if you're talking about starting squad, I don't think you're looking as longer term. So realistically, they've only got one double in the first 6 weeks.
Correct.
And again, I think it'll be tough to pick a big man from that roster. So therefore, I'd probably only be considering the guard spots, and they're too guard heavy for me at this point.
I'm maybe thinking about Gary, depending on how it works. And, you know, there's big raps for Usman.
Yep.
If he is looking absolutely legit, he might be on my bench.
Yep.
Yep, beautiful.
That's fair.
All right. Our club, Bordy, talk us through the Phoenix.
So Sem's a bit of an interesting one. Well, no, they're not really that interesting now that I look at it. But only two doubles in the first 10 rounds, and they're really wide apart. That's the team I was talking about before. You know, comparing, yes, they've got that extra double in the first 10 rounds, but their doubles come in round two and round eight. So there's quite a sparse there where it's just singles as well. So if you're looking at someone like a Jorp Reith as that big to slot to stash, sorry, you know, say against the Cheese, you know, it's a 50-50 call, yes, but, you know, that might be one where you maybe side with Big Juop. I don't know. That's an example. I don't think I'm actually thinking about those two players yet, let's say, so much, but I'm just giving examples for people out there that might be going through a thought process.
That's what we're here to do, mate. That's good. So, yeah, like you mentioned, they've only got two doubles in the first 10 weeks, which is the equal worst Perth. However, one of them's in round two. So
yes.
You can sit them on your bench.
That's it. And so you're looking at that team, like, is Creek going to be worth it? He's expensive. There's one name there. Obviously, Rowdy Brokoff, I think, we saw the worst of him last year.
You've gone with that one.
I think there's three players that I've probably already got on my roster, and he's one of them.
Interesting.
Who's the standout, though?
Hey,
thanks. You just tell standard,
everyone's going to have MVP Pinot.
Oh yeah, of course. I think most people are going to have maybe MVP Pinot as well. I think if he's
320k, we have him starting it.
Yeah, I think you're going to have
even if he doesn't start, he's going to have minutes there. We're not going to have the Cheese taken up 30 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, now that I think about it, I'm going to have four. That's four.
Oh, he wasn't in his squad.
I forgot about him, actually, to be honest. Because he hasn't been around. And he hasn't got one of those shitty bleached haircuts at the moment, I don't think. So I couldn't remember him. But I think the worst case scenario, you're going to get Glidden-like averages out of Rowdy this year, which is what, 30, about 10 points extra, I think he's going to average. So I think there's a bit of value there.
Yep.
Certainly some value there. Obviously mentioned Dane. I'll definitely start with Dane. The schedule at the moment, because of he's basically bargain basement price, I'm fine with.
And Cheese doesn't start straight away, does he? I think he misses the first couple of weeks because he's playing for the Chinese national team.
You read my article.
Yeah, okay. So Dane. Someone read my article. That was off the top of my head, but yes. So I don't think the Cheese comes in straight away. So Dane will be starting, which means he is absolutely on everyone's team.
Yeah.
Everyone that read my article would know this already.
Okay, so this is the thing. It does disappoint me a bit.
Did I write that paragraph, though, Banksy? I think I might have.
Possibly, and you still don't know.
sorry, fellas. I've let the team down.
We do give you credit for the whole article, but there's a bit of shadow writing going on here.
But this is the thing. I was so excited for Cheese and Pinot, quite obviously the fanciest front court pairing, being the Cheese and Pinot in the entire league. If Joe Cheese out, that's
Cheese just is a bit more mature. We have to wait a bit longer for it.
Very good. For a bit longer. And let's hope that Dane is getting better with age as well. It'll be good to see him back to his form. And the other one for me is I had a play around with the schedulers, and I like the idea of getting Munford in. He could very well be my stash. I really, really, really like him. A lot. Kings are up. Banksy, I choose you. Talk about the Kings.
Let's have a look at the schedule first. They are very stacked. Importantly, start on two singles. But, again, you could have some stashes here considering the round three triple. One thing I took away from the round three triple is the Jack Jumpers, and this probably more in-depth for your analysis, Sporty, is when you look at the home and away games.
You know you're meant to be talking about Sydney right now, yeah?
I know, but the reason it correlates is that there's only two triples. Sydney had one of those and the JJs have the other. The JJs' three triple games in round three are all away games, okay, whereas Sydney, two of their triples are a home game. So that'll be important when we sort of weighing up who we will have on the triple. So looking at the actual roster for the Kings, so they've got a lot of appealing million-dollar imports. I really, really, really am big on Jalen Adams.
Mm-hmm.
He's one I will absolutely be having in my team. Also like the look of RJ Hunter. Again, if you can refer back to some of the preseason articles we've put out, a lot of information and stats as to what they've done in the NBA and so forth. So he's another one I look at. And even with their big men, they're probably the opposite of the Breakers. They're heavily stacked in the big man department. So I know a lot of us were pretty big on the chef, Xavier Cooks, at $1.35 million, but maybe not as much now, just with what the Kings have added to their roster in the big man department, but definitely big on their guards, particularly why DJ3J is going to be sidelined for a lot of the early part of the season. So they're going to be short in the guard rotation. And really like the look of those million-dollar imports heading into the triple in round three.
I think they're a really interesting side, Sydney, because they're kind of like they're bookends. They've got like a really good couple of guards. I think most of the minutes are going to go to Jalen Adams, RJ Hunter, and Sean Bruce. Sean Bruce will play most of those sort of one and two backup spots. And then they're kind of a little bit bare until you get to Cooks and the Bigs. Now, I've said Cooks there because they're going to play him as the three, which is what he kind of originally was said to be when he first came into the NBL, but then he played more four and kind of a little bit of stretch five, maybe a little bit in pieces, but it looks like they're going to have to play him as that three, and there's not really much backing him up. I know Angus Glover's there. I'm not sure how far away. Is he training him fully? Is it? I think there was an update about him not long ago, yeah?
Things looking really positive for
Gus. Yeah, cool. Which is awesome. But I think their depth, once you get past, I think their starting lineup's legit. Their depth in the maybe 1, 2, 3, yes, Bruce is there, and you know he's almost $1 million because his average was 24.9 last season. So you could say that's a little bit legit. But I really feel like there's a bit of a gap there behind the three spot. They're saying they're going to play Glover there. It's a bit of an interesting one for mine. I think
a lot more depth when DJ3J.
So. Correct. Yeah. But he's not back for a while. And it's an Achilles, yeah?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Like that's a pretty major injury. And it's a fairly it's a long road to recovery, and it's almost like an ACL type thing, which Glover is going through, obviously. Yeah, it's worse, yes, correct. It's a little bit of it's a bit scary, that one. I know didn't we mention, like, when we talked about Sydney, when they were putting this roster together, we were like probably not touching anyone really because
are you kidding?
There was too many big names. I thought that's what we talked about
in the big man department. Yeah. Big man department, not the guards.
Yeah, well, for me,
it's a bit of a funny one.
My decision will be either to trade Munford to Jalen Adams from round 2 to 3, or to start with Jalen Adams. Because they got the triple in round 3, then they have the single worst schedule in the entire league after that point. They do not have another double until round 13.
No, they play a double in round 7. But yeah, you're right. Apart from that, you're right. That's the only double they have until round 14. Yeah,
so it is the single worst schedule after that point. So,
one double in the next 10 rounds following their triple.
Correct. Yep. Following the triple.
I'm only looking at Adams. That's the only player I'd be looking at from the Kings, and whether I start with him depends on whether or not I'm
trying to bank RJ.
No, you can't. I don't think you can have two with that schedule. So
it's hard. Even for the first 3 weeks.
All right, just quickly, the clubs we've gone for, fellas, what do they all have in common? The clubs with the worst schedules.
Same conference?
So they are all in the same conference, apart from Perth, who have Mark McGowan. So they are all the they are literally these, from the schedule perspective, the six riskiest clubs going round, and they all start with the worst schedules. So you know what we're talking about, conference. You know, I think that that's the good conference with all the good teams. All the good teams have the worst schedules. So something else to factor in, perhaps. Moving into the teams with the better schedule, and something we're looking forward to doing very soon together is getting on the Cairns. Mm-hmm. And I really, really like the Taipans schedule. I think it's one of those schedules that's perfect for NBL fantasy because you know exactly when to bring the players in, and they have three doubles in a row between rounds 4 to 6, and what has it got? 3 in 4 between rounds 12 and 15. So there is clearly 2 points in the season you want your Cairns players, which is always valuable. But my question is there anyone that you want to target on that roster?
Maybe McCall.
Yeah, that's a me as well.
Yep.
He definitely can hit all the stat categories.
You take it with a grain of salt, but they've been talking him up, I think. They interviewed the coach last week, I think. I can't remember. And they were talking him up something shocking. So that's either a good thing or a bad thing, I guess.
And apart from that, is it Banksy? I'll leave it to you to tell me. Is Machado still a captain option we can target in those two stints?
He will be, but I guess it'll just come down. So, I mean, we've got a little bit of time. We don't have to start with him, of course.
Correct.
But, yeah, we've got a bit of time to see how he'll play with this new Cairns rotation before having to make that decision, I guess.
I don't mind as a bit of a sneaky. I've just got a little bit of a gut feeling about the Big Zim. I know there's people that are like, yuck.
Yep, I'm one.
Yep. I know there's quite a few of you that are a bit yuck, but I'm just keeping an eye on him for the preseason. Keeping a little bit of an eye on him.
I mean, I guess I wrote the intro song saying we love Big Zim on the rim, so we'll see how that pans out.
I think that's actually what did it.
Yeah, okay. You sang those lyrics and it felt good. Fellas, we're up to the big three. In my opinion, this is where I'm going to have the vast, vast, vast majority of my roster filled in. Banksy, do you want to go through the Adelaide schedule?
Yeah, so one of two teams on the double to commence round one. So we're going to have to be looking at these players. If you look at the rolling rosters, so going to be interesting whether you're going to spend up. So you've got the two big marquee players. You got Mitch McCarron basically running the ship there, and you got the big hump is the other one that obviously will be right up there in the captain options, I'm sure, come round one.
I guess DJ off, no worries. Yep.
Basically, yeah. He's almost as old as us, Boyd. So anyway. And then you got a couple of million-dollar imports there. So we've got Dusty Hannahs. He's $1 million. He's more of a sharp shooter. I don't know that he'll be value. I don't know if they can hit enough of the stats if you read up on some of my preseason articles there looking at his past performances. Todd Withers is an interesting one. He can probably hit more of the stat categories than Dusty. And then obviously the big one that we'll probably be looking at from a value perspective, really going to hone down on the minutes we're going to see him play in the four blitz games, would be, as we've touched on, Mojave King at 520K.
Still not my favourite mentioned.
Yeah, I still
all right, I know where we're going. The other big man.
That's what about it? The Gallas?
Mm-hmm. Kai Soto.
Kai Soto from the Hills. So I think... I have had a little play around with our little roster calculator I made for us on our shared doc, and it looks not too bad slotting Mojave on a bench spot there. And my question will be, for the double in round one, is Kai Soto going to be startable? And it's just a nice little switcheroo with Dane Pinot in round two. So that's something that structurally I'm really excited about, and spending down on those two. So what's your gut feel towards whether or not Soto will be a startable player?
This is why the Blitz is going to be so important. This is why we watch the Blitz. This is why it's important that it's live streamed. We need to see what sort of minutes he's going to get in these four Blitz games. That's what it's going to come down to realistically.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. Yeah, it's who knows.
I'm not still watching. See,
yeah,
he's still coming behind Hump. So I mean,
yeah.
Unless he's in foul trouble, he's still going to be, you know, taking up some big minutes there.
What about a bench spot?
Because I'm contemplating, just the top of my head, I haven't really had too much of it, but I'm contemplating starting the Hump and paying up for that little bit extra.
Yeah.
They play the Jack Jumpers in the first game of the round, and they play the Bullets. So I think both those teams, apart from Will Magnay at the Jack Jumpers, they're not really going to give the Hump much opposition, I don't think. Mm. You know, so, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm torn.
So I don't think you can start with both either, can you?
Soto's a season-long bench stash.
Hump and Soto. Because you've got another big man there that will come to that everyone's going to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we will.
Of course.
Yeah. So there's only so many we can fit in, so it's going to be interesting. But,
well, you've got a six-man spot. So you could, you know, there's a little bit of freedom there. But you're looking at that 36ers lineup, it's really, you kind of almost have to go with Soto because I would think he's going to get most of those backup minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Malou is still, he's a little bit shorter than, unless they sign someone else, I haven't picked up anyone yet. Although, did they sign a DP today? But
yeah, they did.
Yeah, look.
What scares me a little bit, to be honest, is, I mean, how many times did Adelaide play Daniel Johnson and the Hump at the same time? They did at Stages play.
We said this last year.
Yeah, they did play him at the five when they played
70s and 80s, didn't he?
Yeah, true. But again, like we saw at times through last season when they were both playing the same games, you know, DJ did play minutes at the five as well. So
yeah,
you're right.
I think you can pick three. If I'm looking at a number, I reckon you can start with three 36ers as a maximum, with Soto, Mojave, and paying up for either Macca or Hump probably being the ones that I like best.
Yeah.
Moving on to Brisbane, though, because they're that other team on the double, and being around one double, we like to target those. They also have doubles in rounds 4, 6, and 8. So it's sort of that on and off doubles thing that you can pair with other teams and try and work to your advantage, which is good.
Yeah, if you look a little bit longer term, if you look, say, like an 8-round space, they've probably got the best schedule. Yep.
Well, the second best schedule in the first four rounds.
Yep. Yeah, correct. And then if you stretch that out, the team with the best schedule in the first three rounds, let's say, or if you're going to say four rounds, they've got a far better schedule for the next four rounds after that as well than them. So, well, not far better, but a little bit better. So,
yep. I mean, before the schedule came out, I was not too keen on many Bullets players, fair to say. The fact, we're going to talk about the Jack Jumpers next, but the fact that you can go, they come back round four. So if you can pair up your Bullets with your Jack Jumpers, you can get round one, you can get two, three, and four covered with rotating those kind doubles of players. So
I like that.
That was my main strategy. And the players I've decided I like now based on the schedule, is I think we might get that Frank's ton. We want a Robert Frankston in round one. I think that could happen.
I like it.
I still like Tyrell at that price. And
you've been a big Tyrell fan since about 1986, but
yeah, I have. And and I'm big on Lamar, like having a play.
So am I.
Yeah, 1.2. When I made my little starting roster, he's the most expensive player I've got in it at the moment. Yeah, just like he plays the shooting guard small forward positions, which was so crap last year.
Yep.
and to be able to pair him up with some players in the JJs, which are tremendous value next. That I'm high on a few of the bigs, I'd say. Is there anyone else in that list that is worth a look, do you think?
I'm big on Lamar as well, Benny. If you've read the article on the NBL website, Coach has definitely lit the fire there. So we'll see how Patterson comes heading into the Blitz.
I think it's a good sign he stayed here over the off-season as well, instead of going over to, I don't know, where did he go last time, Puerto Rico, and drinking too many mojitos, and comes back about 10, 15 kgs a bit overweight, you know? Like,
yeah, and I don't think he's been here for a full preseason, to be fair, as well.
No, he hasn't.
So that can only work in his favour. And he's almost, I mean, look at his price. He's almost at that million-dollar import price anyway, and we know what he's been up to before.
Yep.
I think if you've been following Twitter, Dremick's probably ruled himself out for me because he didn't even know that he'll be heading to the Blitz. So that's a no for me. What do we think about the opportunity for Jack Salt?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're just talking about a mojito, and I'm like, you know, the salt in the mojito, around the edge of the mojito.
Not silly, mate.
And, Jack Salt, he's clearly a centre, not a power forward, which I think Deng Deng will take up those backup minutes behind Robert Franks. And, is he the Colton Iverson, just big lumberer? That's kind of the impression I get. But, you know, get some putbacks, some rebounds.
You'd take an Iverson at 250K, that's for sure.
It's just we've now talked about Soto. We've talked about Salt. So we've got Pinot. Like, we're gonna have some decisions to make, is what this is making me realise.
And just as we pointed to at the start of this whole thing, like this schedule's opening up for so many options. There's literally so many options. Like, just between the three of us, there's too many options. So magnify that by thousands.
Well, this is the thing.
It's so much more sparse this season. You look, if you haven't, do yourself a favor, go and open the schedulizer.
Yep.
Because obviously triples were gold last season. Doubles are gold this season. We've just gone back to that old format. So there's so many sparse singles across the season that doubles are, again, what we're going to be focusing on.
Yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, you say that, but in that entirety of the first bit, there's only Travers, Pinot, and one of Munford or Adams out of the first six clubs that we went through that I would even consider. Yeah. So even Cairns, I've ruled out all of them to start with as well. So
then you need to think about but when you talk about that, Benny, and that scares me a little bit because you've got to think about how you can rejuvenate that side, that roster, because you're only going to get two trades a week. You need to make sure that you are not then up the creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
When you're getting to those rounds where none of those sides will have doubles, you know, because I haven't looked at it in that much detail yet, but I'm presuming maybe round seven, there's possibly going to be a couple of those teams that don't have doubles, maybe round nine, maybe round 10, you know. So you if you're going to stack yourself, like it sounds like you are, based on four teams, then you really need to make sure you're not going to be in a world of pain when those four teams aren't on a double, or there's only one of them on a double, for example, because you need to make sure you've got that. You know, it's also about future planning. We always talk about this, and you know, we always talk about our Excel spreadsheets, although we now use Google Docs.
That's a thing. There's going to be so many different teams this preseason. That's why I'm finding this season so much more exciting.
My team is going to be vastly different to both you.
Yeah. And even like Benny said, ruling out the Cairns players, I mean, they've got three back-to-back doubles between round four and round seven. So there'll be decisions to make.
Some stupid player in the first round that I was never thinking about, and you talk me into it like you have done in previous seasons.
Oh, Buzz.
And this is where it gets hard.
Going to miss him this season.
Because we've got the Jack Jumpers next. By far and away the best starting schedule over the first condensed 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Lots and lots and lots and lots of our value plays, which is good, but the risk being that they're not people that long-term that you want to hold on, which is exactly what Boardy was alluding to before, that you need to kind of have that escape plan. That being said, how many Jack jumpers are we jumping on? Fellas, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, obviously, surely everyone has two-way Magne. 790K, yep. Obviously went into that Perth rotation last season, very late in the season, so had to learn the system. Obviously stuck behind Mooney, if not playing at the four. So they're very, very light on, very, very light on in the big man department. So Magne's going to have all the opportunity in the world. The only worry for me there is obviously foul trouble. But price to 790K, we know what he did in the season prior to that. He's well undervalued. So with that no-brainer schedule, with the double followed by the triple, he's going to be in just about everyone's team. So I think that's the number one lock. Outside of Pinot, probably they're your big two there.
What do you think of the guards, fellas?
Very impressed by Majet's numbers in the G League. You know, I think in that last season, I don't have it right in front of me, but my knowledge from writing up the article and looking back at his stats, I mean, I think he averaged his last season in the G League 20 and 10, and we're talking 20 points and 10 assists.
Yep.
And his backup is Jared Weeks at the moment, and we know he unfortunately forgot how to basketball last season. So Majet's going to be he's going to have the keys, basically. He's going to be running that offense. And obviously the other one that we've nicknamed the Grizzly, where do we see him?
Well, see, I'm slightly different there. I think Grizzly sort of takes Majet's backup minutes. I reckon Weeks is really going to be less than 8 minutes a game.
Yep.
Because I think McDaniel slots in there. He's going to play, you know, he was a starter for the championship side last year. I really think he's going to be 20 minutes plus. Does that going to mean that he's going to have production? Oh, look, I don't know. I hope. Because I think he's a possible value pick, mm-hmm. and he's a possible
on your court, maybe.
Hey,
on your court in those double and triple or not?
Oh. I think I need to see a bit more. I need to see how this. Like we've said, this is the best thing about what we've said before about the JJs have been together as a unit for longer than any other teams. So far, because they're actually together and they're all in. I think they're still waiting on one person to come across, aren't they? I thought I saw.
They're done, man.
Oh, they're done. They're all in Tasmania
they're
already.
They're done. Have been for weeks.
They're going to be the most cohesive unit that we see in the preseason game. So you'll really be able to have a look and tell you. I think we're going to get a good eye on what's going on there. I'm thinking Magne is going to be on every side. Mm-hmm. I would think Majet is going to be on most sides as well, a higher than 50% sides for come round one.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a few question marks.
Yeah. Is it like a big sort of log jam, isn't it?
It is. That it's big.
McDaniels, McVeigh, Mikologsi.
Yep.
The Triple M, which ones? Oh, they're all Mix, aren't they? McVeigh, McDaniel, Mikologsi.
Yeah.
So... which one? I think whichever one gets the starting gig, I don't mind as a bench option at all.
Yeah,
that would
agreed.
Probably be almost a lock as a bench option.
Yep, I agree.
Let me ask you, Ken, would you start with both Majet and Grizzly Adams? My thoughts behind it is that Magne is going to be a long-term selection. He's not one that we're going to be trading out of our teams just following that schedule of the double follow the triple in round three.
Yep.
So I guess there is opportunity to select both Majet and Adams based on the schedule that we have to follow, knowing that you can, if you want to, trade both out following that triple and keep Magne long term. But what do you think? Do you think you can start with both
yes.
of the two guards? Yeah?
Yes.
I won't be, but
I think you can.
You can. I agree. It's just what's going to be so crucial with all of this is the PGSG eligibility. If we need these guys, as many of these guys as we can to get the PGSG eligibility so we can chop and change them. And, I mean, it's the two Tassie boys in the guard slots versus the aforementioned Munford, Jalen Adams for me as the picks I'm looking at working out. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm looking with my selections at the moment. You can definitely start them all. But I think we've just been blessed, really, with that we're going to get some Jack jumpers. It's just how far do you go? And Apple Mac as well. Like, what's going to happen with Mikal McIntosh?
Your Kyle.
He looks almost undersized for a power forward as well.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, if Magne gets in foul trouble, they don't have much depth there, do they?
Nope.
I mean, your Kyle's, he's, as you said, he's an undersized power forward. They don't have much thereafter. Mm-hmm. In the big man. Look,
I think some minutes could be filled by Kreslovic and Besto. We saw that in Perth.
Three-year contracts.
Yeah, we saw that last year in Perth with Besto. Like, he did play minutes. He even was starting for a lot of the year. And Kreslovic has always done that as well. If someone was out in Cairns, like, you know, he started at the four most of the time as well. I think they're just going to play a bit of small ball.
He might give Magne a run for his money. I think he fouled out in 6 minutes in one of the games last season. So
yeah, I think I remember that.
could be playing some small ball there. That's for sure.
Cool.
All right, I think that wraps us up.
Yeah, who knows if this will be split into two podcasts or not. Potentially it will. We'll have to weigh that up. But
how long will we be running, do we know?
About an hour and a half.
Oof, that's going to be too.
We'll see how we go. This is the first one we've done in sort of a month or so. So I think the listeners will be happy to be hearing from us, hopefully, if we know our listeners well. Yeah, I guess we'll start and drill down. You can expect a bit more from us in the next couple of, next few weeks at least, because now that the schedule's announced, Blitz is announced, we're really ramping up. We need to start getting some planning going, and really starting to drill down into what our team's going to look like come round one to round five, I guess.
We're working on a lot of content at the moment as well, aren't we? So I've definitely started the cheat sheet design for NBL 22.
Nice.
Very shortly, I've started working on basically an import Bible. So if you've been living under a rock in the off-season and you've sort of tuned out, so I've put up obviously those pre-season articles as the imports and so forth were announced, but I'm going to put out a import-only Bible in the next week.
I'm happy. Yep, I like that.
That way you can get yourself up to speed on the imports and what they've done in seasons prior, just to get up to speed a little quicker.
Nice. Hopefully you get up to speed with the imports before you write the article, Banksy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As always, you can find us on Twitter at @bball_blokes. We're on Facebook. We're trying to do that a little bit better as well with Basketball Blokes. And as always, the number one source of NBL fantasy information, www.basketballblokes.com. Until next time, stay classy.